Bring the meeting to order, please. Record where the... Roll call, please.
Kurt Olsted.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio. Tim Daugherty. Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
James Mengucci. Carl Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sebetich.
Here.
Michael Tepang.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Godin.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Tracy just showed up.
Yes.
Right here.
What? Tracy Carluccio just showed up? Will we read the Open Public Meetings Act, please?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to pertinent newspapers with circulations throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get a motion on the minutes of January 17th, please?
Motion. Make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty? Councilmember Dressler? Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tepang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Any council members have any new business? Seeing none, I just have one thing I wanted to bring up in reference to a lot of press recently from Senator Smith. Whether you support a water tax or not, I found it rather offensive that you would support a water tax and not include the residents of the Highlands region.
Bill taxes.
For somebody that fought so hard and then turns back and walk away, it was really disgusting to me. I think this board has put a lot of time in to try to work with the Act and the Regional Master Plan and trying to support a balanced approach to this. And I just was very upset that the person that got behind this Act and promised to support the property owners just turned his back on us. Didn't even offer part of it. So that was highly offensive and shame on Senator Smith.
Amen.
Next item up is a consideration of resolution, election of vice chair of the Highlands Council. We need a motion, please.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to nominate Kurt Olsted.
We have a motion. Can I get a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted.
Is that a public? No. Roll call, please.
Okay. Councilmember Olsted?
Abstain.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty? Councilmember Dressler? Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tepang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Definitely.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Congratulations, Kurt.
It's a pleasure.
Next item up, consideration of resolution, election of treasurer of the Highlands Council. Can I get a motion?
I'd like to nominate Bob Holtaway.
I will second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tepang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Just for the record, in the past, I don't believe this has been a normal occurrence, as it should have been, but the election of these officers should take place on a yearly basis, so we'll make sure that it's up to January this year moving forward. Next item up, consideration of resolution, supplemental amended plan conformance grant agreement with the borough of Highbridge. This is a voting matter with public comment. Can I get a motion on this, please?
Move.
We have a motion. We have a motion by Mr. Francis. Can I get a second, please?
A second.
We have a second. Thank you. At this point in time, I guess I'll turn it over to Gene for any.
Sure, I'd be happy to comment. I think we have representatives this evening from Highbridge. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Doug Walker, Borough Administrator.
Darlene Green, Borough Planner.
Thank you. Highbridge has been a model community as far as planning conformance and as far as adopting the principles of the Highlands. Also, they are a planning area only municipality, so there was no compulsion for them to go to planning conformance. They saw the merits of conforming, and this is a supplemental grant. Their initial conformance grant was $50,000. It could have been $100,000. They drew down $50,000. They had an amended agreement for an additional $92,000, and of that, $74,000 remains open for future use in fair housing and redevelopment and water use and conservation, which is mandated. This resolution is for $101,100 additional. We'll cover an economic profile of the municipality with an incubator formation, marketing studies to try and build the economic base of Highbridge, as well as a historic preservation plan and a lake restoration plan of Lake Solitude. So, as I said, they have been solid citizens of the Highlands, and we recommend that this resolution be adopted.
Anything else in here?
On all items, or?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped. Just the Highlands, Highbridge.
Not on Highbridge, no.
Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Julia Summers. I'm the Executive Director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We're here in part today, particularly in connection with the lake management section of this grant. Next Thursday, Highbridge has an ordinance up for voting in which they will change the prioritization of sanitary sewer access. And they will move to the end of the line property that is close to Lake Solitude. Property that, and I've sent around for you to see, there are boards, yes, there are boards for you to look at where you can see the property, and you will see this is one particular property, but this will apply to many of the properties around Lake Solitude. They have forest, in forest resource area, they're in the riparian corridor, they're in the open waters protection area. Now these are your data layers. Open water protection area, steep slope protection. In fact, the property that we have highlighted in this case has severely steep slopes. It has critical wildlife habitat, it's in the lake management area, and it's in prime groundwater recharge. I'm wondering if maybe you should be talking to Highbridge about why they're doing this at a time when you're giving them money to protect the lake, but they will be, before pretty much this even takes place, the minutes will not have been approved, they will have removed the potential for protecting the area around Lake Solitude by placing these properties on sewer service. It's in the wastewater management plan, but this area is right now is outside the sewer service area. So by taking away the priority for sewering these properties, you're making it really hard for you to put together an effective lake management plan. I'm concerned that it makes no sense for you to be giving them money. This is a very big grant. I recognize that it is not just about protecting Lake Solitude, that there's economic factors to this as well. But you are the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council, and it is important that you put together a plan to protect Lake Solitude that can work. And by Highbridge's taking this action next week, it sort of flies in the face of what you're trying to do. And I wanted to bring this to your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ellison. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Doug Walker, again, the administrator for the borough. Just some clarification on the ordinance that's in front of council for next Thursday. The prioritization is only addressing the area within the existing sewer service area. We're just making that clarification in the ordinance. And prioritization, we just want to make it clear to the residents that there were no plans to extend the current existing sewer service area. It's just it's beyond the borough's means to do it, and also it would probably put us beyond our contract with the town of Clinton for how much sewage we could send to the municipality. We had some residents that came to us asking us, because of the new DEP regulations regarding cesspools, that we extend the service, and they were asking for some clarification on our current ordinance, and that's basically what's behind the change in the ordinance, the clarification.
So it's only for the present residents?
The prioritization in the ordinance.
Not for any new development.
That's correct. It's only for the areas that are currently serviced. The prioritization in the ordinance in question on for next Thursday only addresses the areas in within the current existing sanitary sewer service area.
Which excludes Lake Solitude.
Mine Road is currently in that area, is currently not on the existing
right.
sanitary sewer
yes,
service.
Yes, so,
right.
And that's on Lake Solitude. And part of this grant is to do a plan to protect Lake Solitude, and you're making it impossible to do that by taking it.
I respectfully disagree. I respectfully disagree.
Thank you, Mr. Walker.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I had a clarification question, too. Mr. Walker.
Yes.
Based on what Carl asked, are you saying that the area is going to remain the same, or how about new development in that area?
There are no plans for new development in that area.
No new houses at all?
We don't have any plans on the books right now, that's correct.
Well, let's say a plan would come along.
If it's within the current sanitary sewer area, it would be allowed access to the sewer system. You also have some homes that are currently there that are on cesspools and septics. When the system was put in the 60s, they were granted a waiver because they could not gravity feed into the system. But if there's new regulations, they would not be able to put a conforming septic system on those lots. So those lots would be also brought in. I believe there's 24 of those.
Excuse me,
brought
can
into
you please
the existing
speak into
system.
The microphone? She was asking if you speak into the microphone.
Sure.
So any new houses that get built in that area, what would...
Within the existing sanitary sewer system?
No, the area that you're saying is not going to be served.
I'm not aware
out.
That is not served.
Yeah, and something down the road. I'm not asking about current plans, but new
development,
how would that be treated?
Well, they would be in the sewer service area.
Right.
Right. So
in order to be built on those lots, the ordinances were amended, I think, in 05 and 06. That they would have to be on at least 1 acre, and they would have to have two areas that would perk. So in the event that the first septic system failed, there would be another area. So in all practicality, you know, they would be fine.
So they follow the current 79A is what you're saying?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Anybody ask questions for Mr. Walker before he walks away? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Vicki Peck. I live in Highbridge. I live on the road that has just been mentioned, on Mine Road. But what Mr. Walker failed to tell you was, prior to this adoption of a new ordinance, there is a sewer plan created by the engineer, the borough engineer, dated 2009, in which he makes a projection for the next 20 years about the allotments, and he also makes a recommendation. His projection is that out of the 121 area septic lots with their own septic things, whatever they are, 70 of them will fail. And then he goes on to recommend, and I have copies if you would like to see it, he goes on to recommend that top priority should be given to the homes with the on-site septic disposal systems. And that's after affordable housing, of course. What the borough has done in the ordinance, and I have that here too if you would like to see it, is they have totally left out anybody who's not on the sewer line. Currently, 89% of the town is on the sewer line. 11% is not. The sewer line happens to stop 4 houses before the rest of Mine Road that has the cesspools. The district is historic. The houses are 200 years old. I live in a 200-year-old house. The houses are right on the road. And as you heard from the other person, it's steep slopes, tributaries, every condition you can imagine we've been classified as. We asked the borough to extend the sewer. And they came up with a new ordinance that just eliminates us totally. They also told us we should just apply for a waiver. And that would settle the DEP regulation about cesspools. We asked, do you have any provision for any future failing on-site septic? They said no. My neighbor's septic, he had a cesspool. It failed 3 years ago. The borough did not help him. He had to put in a $55,000 septic, some sort of accommodation thing, on his own. He paid for it. He lived in his trailer for a couple months because he wasn't allowed to live in his house. Now, we asked the board the last meeting to at least have some sort of plan in the future. We didn't ask them to do it immediately, but we wanted them to be aware of the situation. And again, the ordinance totally cuts anybody that's not already on the system out. There was no help. There's no resolution. There's nothing, except they suggested we get waivers.
I don't have the whole picture completely, but it sounds like certainly a localized issue.
Yes.
Not necessarily one for this body to take up. Well, what I heard, though, the sewer service area is not defined, if you're speaking correctly, the sewer service area is not defined by the municipality.
The DEP told us we were on the sewer service area according to, I think it's WIMP. We've spoken to the DEP.
Yeah. Okay.
We are in the sewer service area. It is, according to the DEP, that we're in the WIMP area. And on this sewer map, it's even drawn to the end of Mine Road. We don't get it, but it's drawn there. I have a drawing if you'd like to see that, too. So we feel it is an issue for this council because it affects. We're on the slope that runs down to the tributary, that runs into the lake, that runs into the river. And a mile down the river, they pull water for the water supply for the town. That's one of the sources. So we do feel it's an issue because the town's water supply is affected by anything that happens to our septics, our cesspools, or putting in new things, or whatever. A waiver doesn't really help the water supply. So we do feel it's an issue because we have begged them to look into it, to at least come up with a plan for the future, and they chose to make an amendment to get rid of the former recommendations by the borough engineer in the sewer plan.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Mr. Walker?
Yes. Just for clarification on the wastewater main.
Sit down. Please pull the microphone up.
Just for clarification on the wastewater management plan, it did suggest that we give prioritization to those lots that were not on the sanitary sewer. Obviously, we can't prioritize someone that's not on the sewer to become part of the sewer. Of the 70 units out of the 120 that were projected to fail, 24 of them are within the current sanitary sewer area. So that makes up 24 of the current 70 that were highlighted in the plan.
I have a question. I still don't understand. Why are you not including this, you know, this lady's house and those houses in there? What's the reason? Because it's out of the sewer area? I don't understand why.
Well, the priority
she wants to be included.
Right, but we don't have sanitary sewer there today.
But she said it's going to end four houses away. Why isn't it part of? If there's so many problems,
it ends on the where the system could be gravity fed. That's where they stopped it when they built it in the 60s. So to extend it to the end of Mine Road, which would take you down into Coastbury, you'd have to have pumping stations. You'd have to have other issues. The wastewater management also plan. Wastewater management plan also suggests that if we hooked everybody up, that was beyond everyone up. If we hooked all the properties that had cesspools and septics, we would be beyond our capabilities. And that doesn't even account for any growth in the business district, which is within the existing system, and also did not include our inclusionary housing commitment. So that's the balancing act that the borough's faced to
so address. It's capacity as well.
It's capacity as well. That's correct. Thank you.
Does the sewer processing facility have additional capacity that you're able to buy?
No. No, Clinton is...
How many towns feed into that? I'm not familiar with Clinton.
Well, they have the town of Clinton, I believe portions of Clinton Township, perhaps. You have the Voorhees High School, Highbridge. There's a couple state facilities that actually come through Highbridge that are included. Of the 402,000 gallons per day that we're permitted to pump to Clinton, almost 64,000 are from outside agencies.
So your contract is 402,000?
Our contract would be the 402 minus the 64 from the outside agencies, correct. But we're actually the pumping station to Clinton for those agencies. So when we take into account our inclusionary housing, any growth in the downtown business area, the 24 homes that are on cesspool and septic within the current existing sanitary sewer, plus the 28 building lots, that would pretty much max us out on our capacity.
And how old is the system?
It was built in the 60s.
And do you have a proactive infiltration control?
Actually, this year we put $60,000 in our budget to start to address those issues, yes.
I mean, if systems that old, I mean, a third of the flow could be infiltration.
Inside the wastewater management plan, we looked at that, and there really wasn't a large correlation between infiltration and rain events, storm events. But there was obviously some, and you know, we're going to try to get after that in every regard.
Where do they stand with their water conservation plan? Have they worked on their water conservation plan yet?
That's part of this. I think it's part of the last one that they're working on.
Which is like great step with that water conservation study.
Yeah, here's their planners here. Thank you, Ted. That I don't think it's been completed yet, but it's in the process.
Yeah, the Highlands Council staff is going to initiate that.
Yeah,
we have not been authorized to complete that module yet. Because there's still, as from what I understand, there's three pilots are still underway. So we cannot start that until the pilots are completed.
For the record, it's Ms. Green, right?
Yes, Darlene Green.
We have three pilots plus one in Mount Arling that we're working on now to develop that plan using low flow fixtures, low water plants, a number of other features that would give us a comprehensive water management plan. But that is developed within house by the council, specific to each municipality.
I mean, every older municipality in the state is facing a capacity problem where, you know, there's only so much downstream and trying to get additional permitted and everything else. So, I mean, if you haven't even started a water conservation program yet, I imagine you're going to find capacity. You're going to go through infiltration. You're going to find capacity. And, you know, one of the things that residents don't understand is that, yes, somebody spent $55,000, but in Flanders, they're talking it's going to cost $49,000 to hook a house up to an extended sewer service they're proposing. So, you know, the economics, I'm not sure
there's any great benefit that people perceive. Right. They perceive that the sewer is going to be a lot cheaper.
Yes.
And not necessarily, the case. However, when you do have a lake there, and the lake is the water supply, and you do have systems that predate 1960, I mean, the probability of them working correctly is rather low.
What I might suggest that if we do it in our town as well is when we get requests from different areas of town, we actually do a quick study to put a cost parameter on it and how much each home would be assessed for that sewer, and they would be opted for.
Right.
On average, tend to stay with their current.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Will we be doing a wastewater management plan review?
For Highbridge? Yes.
What, and is that part of this piece of work?
Within the next couple modules, it'll be built in there.
It's underway. Our staff has been working on it.
We're working on it now.
In consultation with DEP.
And we're still waiting for some of the things. We've got three pilot studies out. We're waiting for some details, some technical details in order to finish up. But that's an issue that we've got across the entire island as far as getting these applied to each waste water management plan. In fact, some of the county plans, we have wrestled the county to include it, and they've wrestled us back. They don't really want it as a contingency to approve the plan, but we've prevailed so far.
Well,
it's part of EO-114.
Yes, and so if that review is going to happen, isn't it possible that their wastewater management plan could be changed in some way, and these priorities may be changed upon recommendation of the council staff review of the wastewater management plan?
It could be, and we could look at this and defer action on that until we get further information. But I don't think the things that we're talking about tonight, the lake management study, would change. That's a water quality study versus a water treatment study. And an economic study as well. So we still have reserved the other funds in our previous grant to examine those items. And we can certainly take a look at that and defer it until a time more certain.
It seems like it would be reasonable for the town to know and the public to know who live there that the prioritization ordinance that's being adopted could very well be changed based on the council's review of the wastewater management plan. I think that is an important thing to know and something for the town to take into consideration about whether or not to go through this exercise of a prioritization at this time. Maybe a little premature, considering there's going to be an expert review from our staff.
I think that's a local issue, so.
But we will take heed of your suggestions early.
Yes.
Here, can I make a comment? Given the amount of information that we've gotten tonight, it's pretty fuzzy to me about what you're planning to do to protect the water of this lake. We don't even know. I don't even know how big this lake is. And I saw these pictures going around here, but there was a shady thing about this big here. I don't know. Is that the lake on those cars that were going around here? How big is this thing? How deep is it? How close are the houses? I mean, it's very difficult. I had a lake management business for 15 years, and I did lake management restoration plans and studies. And I know what's involved, and I just... seems to me that there should be a lake management plan before you protect the lake.
I'm sorry, there should be a lake management plan?
Yeah, study.
That's what we'd like to do.
That's what we're asking for.
Then determine things relative to sewer and septic.
Well, I think I understand where you're coming from, but the issue that the borough is facing is that we have an existing sewer, sanitary sewer system. So to not have a prioritization for the existing area puts the borough in the situation where residents come to the borough and say, I would like to hook into the system, it's right in front of my house. If we don't have a documented prioritization for that, how do we address it? It would just be very arbitrary.
The municipality is working within their capacity right now,
yes,
trying to identify those. And I think right now they don't have the capacity to run it to the lake, is what I'm hearing.
We don't have the capacity.
Enough capacity to run all the way down to the lake.
The homes in question are quite a distance from the lake that we're talking about on Mine Road. And you're right, the borough does not have the wherewithal and the capacity to extend the service at this point if we take into account the other homes I mentioned that are within the existing sanitary sewer, our upcoming, our commitment for inclusionary housing, and we have some, quite frankly, some abandoned factories in Highbridge that we hope to get back online as businesses that are going to need some of that capacity as well.
But we did, $100,000, $25,000 is the budget for the lake venue study.
Did you have any response to Mrs. Summers' comments that seemed fairly valid about steep slopes and all that sort of thing? How would you?
Most of the borough is within steep slopes, 15% or more. Highbridge is basically built into the side of a mountain. Beyond that, I don't know how I could address our concerns. I mean, we're trying to work the best we can to prioritize within the existing sanitary sewer area. The number one priority is for failing septics and cesspools in that area. That's the number one priority. So, I mean, I think the borough is trying to do the right thing as far as water quality within the area, but we're limited by capacity and the extent of the existing service.
Any other comments?
Okay, one, Mr. Chairman, if I might. So, if there were a phase two, I'll call it a phase two, to extend the existing, the things that I think I heard prohibiting that would be economics, one, and number two is the pitch and all of those kinds of things running out. Is that correct?
To extend the sir? Yeah, I mean, again, the economics and then also the capacity. You know, it's 1A. It's, you know. And the other issue we have is, and it was brought up by the resident, Mine Road is a very narrow road, and the homes are right on the road, 200-year-old homes. We don't have a water line running through there, so obviously we would have to reconstruct the road. Which would bring in other DOT guidelines. We don't have any storm management up there. We'd have to bring in some, make accommodations for storm management. So it's a much bigger project than just running.
What kinds of things are being done for inflow and infiltration as we speak? Today? Yesterday? Week before?
We do, the Department of Public Works goes through and checks the manholes to make sure that the covers we have in all our manholes are adequately protected to stop infiltration there. And as I mentioned this year, this is the first year we've actually put some monies in our budget to do studies on the infiltration, camera work and things like that.
If you were to guess, an educated guess, what is your loss on water consumption?
For infiltration? It's really hard to say. I don't want to be committed to a number. I don't know, maybe 5%. Maybe 5%, 6%. I don't know. We don't know. We don't have a number for illicit connections of sump pumps and things like that. But I think we do a pretty good job. I'm sorry? Yeah. But, that's why we need to get in with the cameras and see what's going on. We're going to put meters in there prior to known rain events. So we can measure the flow for a couple of days, and then when we have the rain event, we'll see any spikes or anything, and then we'll know that's a good area to begin, to do if we're going to get the camera and work off the feeder lines.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else in the public wish to hear on this?
Thank you.
Hopefully we won't drag you up every 30 seconds.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the council. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm the Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I have a couple of comments that occurred to me while listening to this discussion. One of the issues, obviously, is there capacity? And I think that when proper analysis of infiltration and inflow is done, you may find some. And correction of those problems, which are two different things. In your technical report on water utilities, I believe you have an estimate of infiltration and inflow for each system in the Highlands. I don't know off the top of my head what that number looks like, but you can certainly get a perspective on whether a system is performing badly or performing well by looking at those relative numbers. So I would commend the technical report to you on this issue. The other thing that I recall was some action by the council to find sewer extension in the preservation area consistent with the RMP based on water quality in Mount Arlington. And in that action, what was done was a strict gallonage limit was placed on each of the connections, and further restriction on development beyond a certain level on the property was applied. That was an action that was not anticipated in the RMP, nor in the Highlands Act or the DEP rules, but this council, with the prodding from the municipality, was able to come to a satisfactory conclusion, which, as I recall, ANJAC supported. So there is a potential problem here. You do have a regional resource in the South Branch of the Raritan River. The situation is difficult topographically, and I think that the council's in a position to provide help, guidance, and indeed some funding for addressing water quality in the lake as part of this grant. And it would be well to add some language that would sort of characterize a response about what could be done. Perhaps an alternatives analysis could be added to the grant. The situation is not emergent. There aren't people running to the hospital from this situation, but it's been there a long time and it's not going to get better. We recognized in the state that cesspools were not adequate treatment and do require upgrade to full septic systems when properties are sold. And that may be particularly difficult or near impossible on some of these lots. I am familiar with that area. So I think you can do some good here by way of proper planning and analysis, but you have to frame the debate and stick that tag on your money. And I think you can do that.
Mr. Chairman?
I think we're getting into a look. If there was no, if this resolution was not up in their municipality right now, this grant probably goes through without any discussion. Unfortunately, at the same time, they elected to, based upon local knowledge, apply their capacity and ranked it. And whether we don't know enough, unless we take a step back and become council people in that municipality and rebuild everything and decide we're going to target those homes that are going to most impact the lake at this time over what I heard, potential COA sites and those types of things. So I'm not sure we should be framing that aspect of it when the municipality is fully capable of doing that at this point in time.
Well, not to be argumentative, but
basically,
as someone else earlier said, you are the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. And we have a regional resource here. A problem has been brought to your attention. And I believe that if you work cooperatively with the municipality, you can come to a satisfactory resolution for everybody. So,
By the way, I did hear that in not this grant, but the last grant, correct me if I'm wrong, that the lake study is actually...
There's money reserved for the lake study, which must be done prior to improving some of these situations. The lake is about 3 foot deep right now. They want to dredge it to 6 foot. That requires a plan and lots of engineering work, and certainly it's going to require a sediment survey.
And some serious cash. And some serious cash.
And some serious cash, which we don't cover. We are a right. planning authority. So I would say that if we can clean up the sewer and the infiltration and the inflow from the area immediately adjacent to the lake, then we can move forward with the water quality in the lake and improve the water quality of the lake dramatically. But I agree that the issue of who is sewered on what line and capacity is a local issue, and the cost is borne locally. So I would hope that, and all I can do is encourage the governing body to do that study, and it becomes a local question. But in order to move forward, the lake study is really a mandatory commitment.
I certainly agree with that, and I'm not going to argue with you about where your sphere of influence begins and ends vis-a-vis a local government. But I think when we're looking at regional water resources, like something like the South Branch of the Raritan River, you might want to be a little proactive in your grant making to see to it that we get a result. One of the things that we don't want to see happen is somehow abundant capacity is obtained and sewer lines are pushed in to the region around the lake beyond the amount of development that's there already. But we certainly think it's reasonable for you to think about the water quality in the lake first and then the welfare of those residents, and have this discussion with the town. Not to jam anything down anybody's throat, but certainly to use the powers of planning that you have and the powers of funding that you have to come to a satisfactory resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Piper.
Thank you.
By the way, I just asked a question, so you're going to get more than 3 minutes.
Well, I appreciate that.
Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
My name is David Cho. I'm against this resolution. It's just another contribution to the full employment for planners and engineers fund. You've already given Highbridge a whole bunch of money to do what? I don't know. If there's any questions about the quality of the water in Lake Solitude, which was originally a lake that was built to service an iron forge, the Tabor Iron Forge. Hardly a pristine operation. Measure it. Quantify it. Don't speculate about it. Figure out what you're talking about. And for Highbridge to opt in 100% in the planning area and then come to you to plan about this and plan about that, which is essentially local issues, issues they're fully capable of taking care of themselves, and if they were on the other side of the Highlands Divide, they would have to take care of it themselves. This is just more waste of taxpayers' dollars. It is known that the DEP, in their infinite wisdom, will not allow the sale of a house with a cesspool anymore. You have to have it upgraded. And that applies on all sides of the Highlands. So the fact that these people are subject to that law that applies across the state is just something that puts a lot of us in the same boat. If it can be solved with a sewer line extension, it should be done. If a few more houses get built along the lake, so be it. After all, when you're considering habitat for blue-spotted salamanders and butterflies, consider habitat for people as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Seeing none, I'll open it up to the council.
Mr. Chairman, I had a suggestion. You know, according to the implementation plan and schedule in our packet, the wastewater management plan is supposed to be completed in the near future, and it says that, you know, of course, we're the lead under the administrative order, but it says that the borough and the DEP have provided comments already to the draft, and they're reviewing the latest version prior to the submission of the final document for DEP adoption. And it seems, based on what we've heard here, that it's certainly reasonable for us to not have that wastewater management plan move ahead until the really important work of this grant is done and the study of the lake is done, and then the wastewater management plan with council staff input could consider what's been brought up here in terms of how do we best protect the stream that runs to Lake Solitude, Lake Solitude, and the South Branch. So I think Mr. Farley already said that, you know, consider taking this, you know, including a look at the wastewater management plan in this section of the grant and the work that still needs to be done, because it already is part of the work plan. But I think if we just make it a little more formal and say that we want to make sure that the wastewater management plan is not done, is not completed, signed, and sealed until all of this other study and planning is done, it would make a lot more sense. And so I'd like to suggest that we put language to that in the grant.
Let me check. I have to check with staff to see how that affects the flow of everything else we're doing. Does that impede the progress of what we are trying to achieve here? I think it's important that we get moving on these things, because until, if we defer the lake study until the wastewater management study begins,
I'm not saying that.
I think it's fine if we move forward concurrently with all of them.
Just not sign and seal the wastewater management plan is what I'm saying. Hold back from submitting it to the DEP for final approval until after all this.
Prior to agreeing to that, I'd like to hear the majority of council agrees with those comments.
Fine.
Because we do have a motion on the table for the applicant application as presented by staff.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up.
I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
And as usual, I'm going to turn my hat around. I'm going to speak as a borough official. Okay, and I understand fully their situation and really appreciate them being a good environmental citizen just by being here, because they don't have to be here. They really don't have to be here. They can go back to their borough and do what they do, and that's their jurisdiction. And you know me and my home rule, and I think that's important. So planning, good planning is good planning. You hear me say that also. And so when they come to us, and they're part of our process at this level, I think we should all appreciate that. We're not going to come up with solutions there. I'm hearing all kinds of logistics and a bunch of stuff. And you really don't have the answer to that until this whole plan and all its increments start taking shape. And so to say, well, we can't do this part until we do that part, in my experience with planning it, sometimes if it's a larger situation like a borough, you can't just focus on one thing and not do anything else. You know, there's stuff that goes on simultaneously. And so I think we should give them the opportunity to do that in concert with us. Because the alternative is that they go do it independently. And so if we're really serious about what we're doing here to protect the water, protect the lake, you know, they have a nice little lake, and they're also a bigger lake. You know, we've got Lake Apaca, for heaven's sakes. And so, yes, that's important, but it's a piece of the puzzle. And this planning puzzle that we're planning, it's important that everything is in concert, and everybody's making valid points, but let's let the planners do the plan, and then we can talk about the details of it. And I don't think anybody is going to do anything as we're planning that's gonna purposely hurt something. So having a dialogue while all this stuff goes on is very important. But having a dialogue that demands certain details before the plan is done is really not good planning. So anyhow, thank you for being here, Highbridge. I appreciate the fact that you're paying attention to the environment and you know, being from a borough that has serious sewer issues because of topography and money. You know, it's nice to say you should do this and do that, but when it comes to pay the bill, all of a sudden everybody that's giving you all these solutions isn't around right now to check, to do the blasting or dig the ditches or put the pumping station in or the grinder pumps or whatever. All of a sudden everybody goes away. And it's the responsibility of the borough to do that. You as a borough are going to bear the cost of the results of this planning. We're going to do a plan. A plan is a plan. It's not an action. It's a plan that lets you do an action. Not planning works. But when it comes at the end of the day, you're all going to write the check out for whatever you do. And I appreciate that. So,
thank you, Mr. Francis. I guess before moving on, we should actually at least get a show of hands on who would like to take Tracy's suggestion and include that in the motion for this. Anybody that supports that?
That'd be restated. Yes. Tracy's very common sense.
It makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
That the wastewater management plan that's being developed now not be finalized until after all the studies and the planning components have been completed.
All of what studies?
That in this grant and in the grant that's already in process.
And it doesn't
mean they stop the planning process for this water management. It just means it does not get adopted and signed and sealed by DEP.
Well, we're under a time deadline to get these plans into DEP. We don't have a lot of flexibility. They have to be submitted on a fairly tight timeline. If we have the flexibility of moving forward with any of these, I would just prefer to have from a staff standpoint flexibility. Maybe we'll only do a half of the lake management plan, but we need to get the wastewater management plan done. It just has to move forward.
Our treasurer said these plans might actually be late at this point in time, but I'll defer.
Yeah.
A lot of them is valid. I mean, ours and Bedminster's been approved a year ago.
Mm-hmm. And there's several thresholds here. We've worked with the county, and they've worked with DEP, and I think it's imperative we get that plan in place.
I don't know enough to know whether the prioritization that's being acted on by an ordinance by Highbridge is required for the wastewater management plan.
That's correct, because we're not a council person in Highbridge.
That's right. So, but what our responsibility is tied to the wastewater management plan. We have a responsibility under the administrative order.
So again, I'd like to see a show of hands on Tracy's suggestion that should be included in this motion. Can I get a show of hands? I see five, so the motion stays as is with no amendments. Any further discussion on the proposed resolution? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Savatich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefenk?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. Congratulations. Thank you. Next up is the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Chairman Riley. This month, your council staff continued its focus on traditional responsibilities, while also, as we promised at our last meeting, which was to develop this afternoon's program that we believe offers a paradigm shift in our transfer of development rights program. But first, I'd like to give you an overview of our business as usual. With regard to plan conformance and implementation, municipalities continue to complete conformance and implementation task components. Staff plans and anticipates to present Roxbury's preservation area petition and Wanacue's preservation and planning area petition to the council within the next couple of months. As now reflected in the plan conformance status report, with the inclusion of Roxbury, we now have 44 conformance approvals. As a function of plan conformance and fostering productive conversations with our stakeholders, outreach has proven a vital component, which we have worked diligently at in contacting all of our counties and all of our municipalities. Several municipalities have contacted us, asked that the Highlands Council recognize they have been dormant for a long period of time for plan conformance, asked that we do a presentation, and now we have renewed and reignited their interest in conformance. During this past month, we attended 6 municipal governing body meetings and planning boards, 6 county administrators and planning directors, 3 advocacy and special interest groups visited us, 12 state agencies, state committees, and state advisory boards were visited by us, or they to us. Training and education sessions were held with municipal planners regarding plan conformance. We had 2 educational professional association days for our staff with the American Planning Association, and we had one Highlands Council staff meeting for 34 meetings that we attended during the month. As of right now, we have 15 meetings scheduled for next month. We anticipate that will double, and we are anxious to go wherever anyone asked us to go, almost. We have a new program that we're introducing, which we call our 101 program. And this is a little trifold pamphlet, Planning for the Future of New Jersey's Water. We called it 101 because the thought was that it should be called Pilots for Dummies, and that wasn't accepted very well by the staff. So we changed it to the topic 101. We have two of these now, Planning for New Jersey's Water and TDR Receiving Zones, which you'll hear a lot more about in a few minutes. Our next one will be on plan conformance, and we will roll these out as we roll out the various educational seminars on them. The Resolution 2012-18 that establishes delegation of executive directors' authority for plan conformance and my commitment to provide to you a monthly report on that activity, which was within my scope, two items occurred during the past 30 days. That will be up again for your review and approval, we hope, at the next meeting. So if you had any questions on that or you felt that it was not working properly, I'd certainly welcome the opportunity to discuss it with you. Under the category of litigation updates, Town of Clinton and Borough of Highbridge were sued by the Fair Share Housing Center, challenging the Highlands Council's approval of plan conformance petitions, claiming they were not adopted according to the Administrative Procedures Act. On January 25th, the Appellate Division affirmed the Highlands Council plan conformance approval, so we won those two on appeal. We won the first time, too. We won on appeal the second time. So now we get on to our main event, and that is, since the adoption of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act in 2004 and subsequent adoption of the Regional Master Plan, the transfer of development rights has been envisioned as a primary, if not the only, method to attract private funds into landowner compensation. Other compensation methods require some form of government levy, primarily bonding or taxing. The expectations of the Highlands TDR program have been at best disappointing, and to achieve minimal goals have required an infusion of public cash. From the outset, we recognize that success relied on partnerships with a wide variety of institutions and agencies. We recognize the concept is complex, and we quickly realize that it was difficult or would have been done successfully already. It was implemented successfully in the Pinelands. Why not here? In the next few minutes, we will present to you what we envision as a feasible and practical program for transfer of developer rights. Be assured, we know success will not be easy, but we also know that we believe we have developed an approach to attracting, identifying, and securing receiving zones that will work if we align ourselves with the right partners. And with that, I am pleased to turn the meeting over to Deputy Executive Director Margaret Thurstrom, who has been the spearhead on this program, and James Humphreys, Principal Planner, who has been equally responsible for getting this program to where it is tonight. The entire staff has had some input and some contact with this, and we'll certainly be open to questions when we're done. Margaret?
Okay. Well, we're excited about this. I hope by the time we finish, you will be too. Gene has taken all my best lines, so there that is.
You weren't that good then.
Mark, can you speak into the microphone, please?
Certainly. And you probably have to remind me to do that because I'll get carried away here. As Gene mentioned, the Highlands TDR program was created by the Highlands Act as a means of compensating landowners for the lost development potential of their lands using monies from the private sector. It's the main tool available to us for landowner compensation, but one of the things that we need to do to make it work is to establish receiving zones. Otherwise, there's no market for the credits. When this program was first rolled out, there were some towns that expressed an interest in establishing receiving zones. They were awarded grants to determine the feasibility of creating them. However, none of these panned out, and as you all know, at the moment, we have no receiving zones.
So when Gene and I came on board, it occurred to us that it would be a good time to revisit the program and see if we could figure out what was making it not go forward and figure out a new approach and hopefully get some success out of it. We wanted to just kind of bring you up to speed with what's transpired thus far before we kind of move on to the new program, and so I'm going to turn it over to James.
Hi, how are you? I'll just give you a quick overview of the Highlands Development Credit process. First, a property owner would make an application for an allocation of credits. Highlands Council staff will review that application, and based on the pre-act development potential of the property, come up with an allocation. The executive director issues an allocation. So an allocation is simply an acknowledgement of the lost development potential of the property. There's nothing marketable at that point. At that point, the property owner has to decide if they want to get their certificates from the property. Now, to get their certificate, they need to actually place an easement on the property. So closing is conducted, and the certificate is issued to the property owner. At that point, the property owner can then sell the certificate to either the Highlands Development Credit Bank or on the open market. Just to give you a quick update on the status of Highlands Development Credits, to date, we've issued 1,608.25 HDCs, which total 3,313 acres from 86 applicants. The Highlands Development Credit Bank has closed on 392.5 HDCs. Easements have been applied to 332 acres from 12 property owners. A pending and approved by the bank, but are still pending closings, are 88 HDCs, which total 208 acres from 5 properties. Let's give you an update on funding. $10 million was provided to the HDC bank through Executive Order 114. $6.3 million has been spent by the HDC bank on closed properties. An additional $1.4 million has been approved by the bank for purchases, and $1 million has been set aside for debt services required by the Treasury. TDR Receiving Grant Program. To date, 15 TDR Receiving Grants have been awarded. 7 of those have been completed. 2 of those completed ones have found that the TDR Receiving Zones were not feasible. An additional 2 are pending review and approval. And based on the review of the existing TDR Receiving Grants, we're recommending revisions to the program to increase funding and include fiscal impact analysis.
Who concluded that they were not feasible? Was that the municipality itself, or yes, was that our staff?
No, it was the towns and the No, it was that was part of the feasibility, the study that the towns did. That was where the conclusion came that they were not feasible. Our staff did not make that decision.
And then do we review it to determine whether we think their conclusion is a reasonable conclusion or whether it's just a...
Can you hold that thought?
I can hold it. Yes.
Thank you.
We have an opinion there. Now, moving forward, when Gene and I came on board as part of our due diligence as newbies, we went and talked to many organizations, including County Economic Development Corporations, obviously about economic development. But we took that opportunity to float the idea of receiving zones to see if they knew of any towns that might be interested in participating in that program. And really, to my surprise and delight, they did. And not only did they know of towns that they thought might want to get involved, they were instrumental in setting up initial meetings with some of these towns. We knew that there would be a limited opportunity to make the sale, that we would really only have one shot to get towns interested. So we wanted to make a presentation to them that would pique their interest. Gene and I approached these meetings from our perspective as former mayors, like, you know, what would we need to hear as a mayor to make this sound like something we would like to invest our time and energy in. One of the things that we thought about that hadn't been done before is there was no economic analysis of the fiscal impact, either good or ill, of a potential TDR receiving area. And that's something that has to be done because, you know, as mayors and, you know, councilmen and women, you know that you can't really sell the product to either your council or your constituents unless you can show that it's going to make sense for the town fiscally. You know, if it's a loss for the town, nobody's going to move ahead because this is not going to be done out of altruism. It's going to be done because it will help your town. We also felt that we needed to bring potential partners from the state level into the process as much as we could, so that we could, working with the town, put together a proposal that made sense fiscally, and also brought many, many partners, or not many, many, but as many partners as we could to come up with the best product that we possibly could. We talked to Office of Planning Advocacy, we talked to the New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust, we've talked to HMFA, among others. They're all willing to play with us. They're all willing to bring some of their assets to the table to put together a really good project for towns. We also have reached out to the New Jersey Builders Association for their perspective as well, because they're not going to do it out of altruism either. Unless we have a proposal that works for them, nothing's going to move forward. So that's kind of the Cliff's Notes version of how we got to where we are today. The conversations we've had with all the entities I've mentioned have helped inform what you're going to see next, which is the actual presentation we will be making to municipalities. We're also going to just kind of continue to comment on the slides so that you have an understanding of our thinking on some of the key issues here. But I'll turn it back over to James.
So as Margaret said, this is basically a presentation we take to towns to try and sell them on the TDR receiving program. So we start by basically outlining some potential issues a town might have, and then we bring in some of the benefits that a receiving zone could bring to them to improve their town. Now, I'll let Margaret take over this slide.
She'd have two microphones up here. For something, and this slide is probably the most, represents the most radical change in how we're approaching TDR receiving zones. For something as new and as innovative as a TDR program is, we felt that we had to do a lot more than just award grant money. We felt that we needed to go out and identify towns that were clearly interested in participating in the process and excited about the potential for economic growth and improvement of their tax base, and that these would be the towns that we would target for grants. We envision a very close relationship with towns as we go forward through this process so that we're assured of getting the work product that we need to continue to move this whole concept, this whole plan, this whole program forward.
This is the most important slide in the whole presentation of the RUR information, and it goes back to Mr. Allseed's question about what happened with the existing grants, especially ones that they found weren't possible. And the existing grants up to this point missed this whole slide. There was little to no staff involvement in the process. The towns were given money, they went away, came back with the results. If they did the grant, they met the qualifications and the funding was approved. But from now, what we're doing is we're inserting ourselves in the grant process. We're going to the towns and saying, okay, do this grant. If you have issues, let's identify those issues. If there's roadblocks, tell us what the roadblocks are, and we're going to come and we're going to help you get around those roadblocks to make this work. If there's holes in the program, tell us where they are, tell us where the funding needs to be applied so we can make the TDR receiving grants work. We just don't want to send a town away and have to come back and say, oh, it's not feasible because of X, Y, or Z. We want to come back and say, there's difficulties in X, Y, and Z. How can you help us? And we're going to be there along the way to provide support on how they can help you. And that's the biggest change we're making to the TDR receiving grant program, is to get involved and bring all the assistance we can to these towns to make sure we get receiving grants.
By the way, which I think is a great idea, my concern has always been is giving these grants out to people that are doing it with no intention of becoming a receiving grant.
Well, and that's what we want to avoid, so that's why,
it's important to outline to the municipalities in advance, so when they start down that road, there is a real option for them. It's just not doing a study to pacify us.
Absolutely, and that's why we're having these initial discussions with the town, so that we can, you can tell when a town's motivated and is interested, and you can tell when they're going, well, how's this going to affect my election? Those are the ones we don't want to deal with. We want to deal with the towns that think this could work for them and benefit their residents.
So again, this is the municipal presentation we give. So this is just an example of the information we give to the municipality. We start from scratch. We explain what a basic TDR program is.
We didn't practice with the mic, clearly.
It would probably be easier if you take that microphone out of the holder and just flip-flop it back.
And that's why you're on the council.
An engineering class.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the points that we want to make to towns is that there's no template or prescribed program, that we have a great deal of flexibility in crafting a program to suit an individual town's needs. The last bullet point here is something else that we wanted to point out. I've already mentioned that receiving zones are voluntary, so that we have to have a good product that we can offer for towns so that they'll sign on. But the receiving zones now can be anywhere in the state, and in fact, we're in some pretty productive discussions right now with towns that aren't that are outside the Highlands but are dependent on Highlands water. The Highlands TDR program is the only program in the state that allows a town to charge impact fees. Now, they have to demonstrate a logical nexus between the impact fees and the development, but this is something that towns, you know, they're very interested in this, obviously. You see that the next step in the process would be a $250,000 grant. Before a town gets to that stage, the marriage has to take place. They have to make an absolute commitment to creating a TDR receiving zone before they get into that particular program.
And again, we're visiting towns giving this information, so we're trying to provide them with examples of how this might benefit them. So in this case, we're showing what could an impact fee be used for. It could be used for schools. It could be used for streetscape improvements. As long as the improvements are related to the TDR receiving area, they can use that money.
What kind of commitment are you talking about?
I would think probably on the level of a signed contract. A legally binding document. I don't know yet. We haven't got that far.
Not yet, but we've established a commitment to make that happen that way. I mean, I'm speaking for Margaret here, not for the rest of the council. I'm not interested in giving the town $250,000 and have no result. That's just not the way to do things.
Well, how do you get to that? What consummates the marriage to get the $250,000 for a town to be designated receiving zone? I mean, there's got to be something. There's got to be some guidelines to help the towns even think about doing that.
There would be, and I want to just kind of say to you that we're bringing you the program at its initiation, that we don't have, and this is why we want to bring it to you at its initiation, so that you can give us feedback. I would think that would be a pretty strong discussion with legal to figure out how we make that happen, but I'll say it again. We won't move forward with the big grants until we figured out a way to make sure it's a solid commitment on the town's part. Sir.
What if you have a town that's 100% on board, but the TDR program doesn't develop any new construction, therefore no fees, therefore no improvements, but they have $250,000 grant?
For it to be a functioning TDR receiving area, it would have to generate new growth. So they wouldn't basically qualify to become a receiving area unless there was an opportunity to grow. Now, if market conditions are that for the first 5 years it doesn't grow, well, that's okay. TDR receiving areas can take a long time to be implemented. But the $250,000 is to implement the receiving area. It's for ordinances, plans, so on and so forth, to implement the receiving area. So there would be a receiving area. That receiving area would have to be able to accommodate additional growth. The infrastructure in the area would have to be able to accommodate that growth. The zoning would be in place to accommodate that growth. So all of the mechanisms would be in place to allow the growth. The only thing that could prevent it would be market conditions, and well, that's the market. That's just the way TDR receiving area works.
It's redevelopment, too.
It is redevelopment, too.
Which is critical to places in Bike Area.
Yes.
They're all industrial cities, like the state of Paris.
Exactly.
But a TDR receiving area has to allow additional growth over what is currently permitted. In other words, you couldn't have a TDR receiving area that doesn't allow extra growth. That just
correct.
And just building on the enhanced planning grant that Margaret was speaking to, it's thought of as it can only be used for ordinances, but there are another variety of uses it could be used for. If there's a commercial receiving area, it could be used for a sustainable economic development plan. It could even be used for marketing if that's what they need to do, if they need to promote growth in that area to get the TDR receiving area growing. So there's lots of benefits to the town, and we just try to prevent that. During the presentation to towns, we also tried to present to them specifics that might relate to their town so they could see how a TDR receiving area can benefit them specifically. So if we're visiting a rural community that might be interested in intramunicipal or TDR within their own community, they're going to be looking at different benefits than a urban area. So in a rural area, they might be interested in open space preservation, limiting development in one area and transferring it to another. Their impact fees might be used for new schools, additional school capacity, or improvements to roads to support the TDR receiving area. A mature urban area, a lot of the places we've been visiting are more mature urban areas. Again, they're going to be more interested in impact fees used for existing infrastructure repair and upgrades, site remediation. It might be a commercial downtown that needs streetscape improvements or even security improvements. So again, we're trying to tailor these presentations to the towns. Finally, the Highlands TDR is the only TDR program in the state that allows the transfer of commercial development. So we're looking at presenting towns that may have an aging commercial corridor. They might be able to use the impact fees or the planning grants to increase new business, increase access. Obviously, a lot of these older commercial areas need streetscape improvements or infrastructure improvements. So again, we're trying to tailor this presentation to specific towns' interests. And the receiving zone assessment grant. This goes back to some of the things that were missing in the previous grants that were done. The original amount was $25,000. We've increased the amount to $40,000, recommended to increase the amount to $40,000, to incorporate a fiscal impact analysis. The existing studies required a real estate market analysis, but they didn't provide the municipalities with any information on how is this going to impact the budget of the town, how is this going to impact the stores down the street in my town, what's going to be the impact fiscally on the overall town and on the developer as well, because this is obviously a market-driven program. So the receiving grant needs to include that analysis, so all of the new grants we'll be bringing to you for review will include that component, because without it, the town's just not going to have the information they need. And at the end, what we're looking for is the town to be able to find out that, hey, this is a benefit to us and it will work. And that's the purpose of the grant program.
Anything?
No.
No. This is the last slide that goes to municipalities where we say, explore the possibilities with us. Flip over to the next one. We thank them. James is the czar, but we also wanted to say what the next steps are for us. We've had initial meetings with a number of towns, and we have follow-up meetings scheduled with two of them to go over the grant so that they understand what's expected of them and what they can expect of us. Hopefully, we'll be able to announce some grant awards in the upcoming months. These grants, as previously mentioned, will have a new level of staff oversight and new attention to detail to make sure that they result in the creation of receiving zones. As Gene said, if this was easy, it would have been done by now. This is a very complicated process. It's new to the towns. They're not familiar with it. But just based on the reaction that we've had from a couple of towns, I really am optimistic about moving this forward. I think it was Kurt that said at the last meeting, all we need is one good project, and I think we'll get that. So we're excited about it. I hope you guys are too. Please, if you have any thoughts, questions, ask them tonight, or you know where to find us, because this is a group effort. So thank you.
Thank you.
Pardon me?
Again, we'll work with other state agencies to assist in those areas. Well, the TDR receiving area could use impact fees towards cleanup if that was an item. So, if the town had a specific interest in a brownfield site and the TDR receiving grant, they would view the issues associated with that site, identify any funding concerns or permitting, any other concerns like that, and we try and work through any of those issues to see if that site is feasible. So it would be primarily addressed in the initial grant.
I just have to say, because I got feedback from the people you met with, Mike, and some of the municipalities, and certainly my administrator and my economic development person, Deborah Hoffman, and everybody was very impressed. I'm happy about it. As Kurt said in our last meeting, this is the tool that we have. It's the only tool we've been given, and the tool hasn't been used yet. So, I really appreciate what you've done here, because it's the first time I can see keeping us moving forward and actually trying to get something done in this area and make the tool a real tool. So I appreciate what you did, and the feedback was 100% positive for everybody.
Great answer.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track with the financials, personally, because if municipalities can first understand and take the Greek and Latin language out of the TDR program and write it in English so it's understandable, and more importantly, for municipalities to understand the financial impact, because all budgets are tight, and so I think that was the missing link in the TDR. It's nice to do the planning. It's nice to talk about taking development here and putting it there. And be careful what you ask for, because you might get it. So we might be in a situation where a town will say, "Well, I'm going to make this a receiving zone because we're doing rehabilitation, and but we're going to take and not allow any development here because we want to keep it green and all that stuff." It might be something we don't expect, or it might be a volume we don't expect. So we have to expect some success with this, hopefully. But again, the financial model is critical. If there's nothing in it for the town, they ain't going to do it. And so they have to understand the money. It's about the money. It's not always about the planning. Everybody understands good planning. But when the rubber meets the road, it's about the money. And so if we can keep the focus on that and make them understand that this is going to be good, financially, I think we got a good shot, a better shot than we had before.
I think it's important to know that we're talking about some significant scale here, too, because if we invest $250,000, $290,000 in a community, it doesn't pay us to sell TDRs that are worth $200,000.
Yeah.
There's no ROI on that. So that one of the things Margaret's been working on in values is what she calls the solve for number. What is that economic break-even point? What is the economic...
The tipping point. Before we say the company
exactly.
is not working.
Right.
The town can say it's going to work, but for us, it's not going to be worth it. So we have to... The financials are the bottom line. That's the most important piece. We've already visited the theory and all the other stuff. But now it's about the money. If we can make it feasible financially, you got it.
So we're
going to
try to
a couple of things. A good pre-screening program before you go into a municipality. I think some of the people we've talked about, TDR, a little groundwork might have said, well, really, they can't do it. And another thing that's always bothered me about TDR is virtually every piece of ground in New Jersey has been zoned to a level of its carrying capacity. What are the roads? What are the infrastructure? What's the sewage? What's the water? And so we've said, okay, that's 10 units per acre, or 5 units per acre, or a tenth of a unit per acre. When you come to the TDR, now you're asking them to absorb more than that. And I think that's what a lot of towns take a look at and say, oh my God, if we do that density here, you know, there's so much that happens around. And you try to concentrate in a receiving area, and then how much additional can you put in? And they have to be very careful what that impact is going to be long term, and how it impacts. So I've been accused of thinking out of the box so far. I can't even find the box. Yeah. But you know, my thought has always been, and this is crazy, municipal land use laws should say you're only allowed to develop your property to 80% of the density that it's zoned for. All property in the state of New Jersey. We did that with the people in the Highlands. We said, okay, boom, you're down. You're out. If we did that with everybody, those that want to develop would have to search out to get their maximum. So if you had somebody with 5 acre zoning and a 15 acre lot, and you had somebody with 5 acre zoning and a 15 acre lot, this one wanted to preserve it and farm it, this one wanted to develop it, this one would have a receiving area, which would make the entire state a receiving area. And every piece of property, a potential sending area. And we talk about farmland preservation and how we do farmland preservation now. We try to buy this stuff. Towns with open space, there's development rights that they hold and they just don't utilize. Even the municipalities could sell off these development rights into these other areas. Because the whole thing to me that's the weak linchpin from a planning point is the fact that we're going into super densities to accomplish this. That's always been a concern of mine. The because everybody zones to 100%. Crazy, right?
I mean, the increase in density is a concern, and obviously looking at necessary capacities that need to be increased for wastewater and water is part of the receiving grant process. It's part of the reason for impact fees that they can use them to increase if that's what they need to do. And you could also look at, especially the more urban areas, older urban areas, where they're changing uses, where they're going from some redeveloping an old industrial or old commercial site into residential. So if they're changing the use, they could, there'll be capacities there. There are road capacities. There are transit capacities. And changing the use could be used as a TDR receiving area. So that's something else to consider.
I think the strength was moving it to where they could be transferred anywhere in the state of New Jersey, right, as opposed to within the Highlands.
Because yeah, the comment was, you're right, for suburbia, nobody really wants to increase those densities.
Yeah.
But redevelopment in a lot of towns, and like it's safe, as Freeland Director James pointed out, I think there's a real benefit.
And it's important to those towns.
It really is.
I mean, it's extremely important. It's really lifelike. I mean, talking to our lifelike department, that's really where cities are going in.
Yeah. I mean, we're almost at a point where we should say, okay, you want to take this nice green empty lot, you want to build a building on it, you make a donate, you post a deposit of X dollars so that when you're done with that, there's money to either clean it up, get rid of it. If you don't have that on a redevelopment, guess where they're going to build? They're going to build in areas where they don't have that green penalty for destroying green acres.
I have to apologize, but I have somewhere else I have to be.
No apology.
I have to relax. I have no life. And I have to leave. We have nothing else to vote on.
Yes, correct.
I apologize for that early, but to the public.
Good presentation.
Any other comments on the presentation? Well done.
Well done.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done.
Well, it's a good first step.
Every journey begins with the first step.
That's the hardest step.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of comments and questions on the Executive Director's report,
yes,
not this portion of it, before we leave that agenda item.
Please.
Okay. I see the... Mr. Fogg, you have in here that the report on the legislation for the Reserve New Jersey, Green Acres, and the various other bills that were moved out of committee.
Yes.
I know in the past the Highlands Council has made testimony at the committee level in support of open space funding. Are we considering doing that? Do you need Highlands Council?
I would be happy to do that at the discretion of the council. I would not even think of doing that without your direction, your consent, and your encouragement. So I would leave that to you. I'd be happy to pursue that any way the council wishes me to.
Well, I know it's been up for discussion, and there will be opportunity for hearings and testimony at hearings at the Senate and soon the Assembly. So I think we should consider this and ask, as council, whether or not we want to direct the executive director to speak in support of these open space funds.
If the Highland area included it,
yeah.
But if the Highland
yes.
area not included it, no. We've talked about TDRs and funding and development, and we talked about money for the Highlands and the state. If our friends in Trenton are going to do something like a water tax or whatever else they're doing with open space, I would like to see them do something with the Highland area so that it can make take the pressure off the people who are affected by it and keep the focus on that. And they keep forgetting we're here.
Yeah, I'm not sure we should take positions on what the legislature's doing at every turn. We can take positions on everything they do down there.
Well, not at every turn. But certainly open space funding is something that we are very concerned about as a council.
It's not a direct impact to us, though, necessarily.
Well, there's a direct impact if there's more money in the state coffers to reserve land. And in the Highlands as well. And it could be in planning areas as well as preservation areas. So I'd like us to consider this because I'm concerned that the opportunity for testimony will pass before our next meeting.
I'd be concerned about the details of each bill. I would want some council to look through the bill, make sure the details do fit us or do not fit us in any details that, might be inappropriate for us to endorse.
Well, don't we have a staff member that's very familiar with open space, don't we, in our planning
department? We are very, very thin on staff right now.
Well, Smith is talking about a water fee. If there's going to be a water fee, it should be toward the 800,000 acres in the Highlands area, and we should get a benefit from that fee. Right now, it doesn't even mention it. The brief abstract I've read, anyhow, does not, and it should. It should mention us, and it should mention the efforts with the struggle with the TDRs and the struggle with the lost developer rights. It's part of the answer. And right now, from the abstract I've read about Senator Smith's bill, doesn't even mention it. So that would be my input to him. Please remember the Highlands area. If you're going to do a water tax, where's the water coming from?
Quite obviously, you forgot this area already.
I would go down myself and say, hey, come on, folks, you said you're going to show us the money. Now you want a water tax, show us the money.
He is showing you the money.
I'd like consideration for this issue.
But you mentioned our staff member that has expertise in the open space area. They could go evaluate the bill, but it would still be up to us to decide to do that. They shouldn't have to guess what we
want. Yes, and we have, I just like to point out, is the precedent for this. We have done this in the past as a council. We have directed our executive director to go to Trenton and testify in support of open space funding.
Sure, Chairman, let me suggest this. Our executive director seems to be on top of legislation. If he puts the legislation and feels that it impacts the Highlands area, and it should be commented on it, bring it to our attention, and then we can discuss it and we can make a determination whether or not someone should go down. Is that fine?
Sure. We can do that. We hadn't done that in the past, so I think that could be a good. We'll go forward to make those presentations to you on legislation.
Sure. That hasn't happened since I've been here.
If it's a water tax legislation, I want to know about it. Okay.
I don't know how quickly these bills are going to be moving. I don't know that we are not going to be closed out from being able to make either oral or written testimony on these if we don't act on this now. Is there some system that we could put in place now to ask our executive director to look at these, to consult the staff who have knowledge in these areas, and then to make a recommendation to the board about this?
At the next council meeting?
If it looks as if when the analysis is done by our staff that this is going to move too quickly and that these bills will come up before these committees or a vote before our next meeting, then I don't think we should wait. I think perhaps if we consider a motion tonight to have this looked into by our executive director in consultation with the staff and then report back we've done this through on other issues. Report back through by email.
Council shouldn't be making any take any vote or begin to take anything into consideration via email. Silly.
Well, if we can't, I'm sure we can't vote without the Sunshine Law. But if we tonight perhaps can consider a resolution to authorizing him to make comment either oral or verbal in support of open space funding, should staff and research be done, staff research and Mr. Files research show that it is beneficial to the Highlands.
If it's a water tax, I'm not going to support any bill or anything to have to do with it unless it includes the Highlands.
Well, the water tax bill is a
separate. I'd like to stay informed now. Well, I
understand what
myself.
You're saying. Certainly. Okay. That's S-813, but there are other bills listed in Mr. Files' report.
And if there's going to be a resolution, it should be on an agenda for us to deal with as well.
Well, can we ask our attorney how we may be able to deal with this, and how legally could we deal with this? Could we adopt a motion tonight?
We can ask the director to keep us informed.
Keep us informed,
Jim.
We could certainly prepare a white paper on any of these bills and get them to you individually, and then I would prefer, without any authority to do this, that you act individually, not as members of the council. If you wish to make your own statement based on our findings, I don't see a problem with that.
But to
act as a group and authorize me to represent the entire council without having your authority to do it, I would feel a little uncomfortable.
And I wouldn't ask you to do that for a thing.
Certainly, and we want to do
it. Mr. Alstead?
According to a legal process.
I was just going to say, I don't think we want to make that rule out.
an authorization to the executive director. I think we need to examine things as a council, case by case, and then and act specifically on each piece of legislation that he suggested. And I think it needs to be methodical, and I think we're fooling ourselves if we don't consider the fact that we're part of the executive branch, and we need to be cognizant of what the governor's position is on certain pieces of legislation as well.
Can I make a suggestion then? Do we have agreement, perhaps a straw poll of the council, that we ask our executive director to look into with knowledgeable staff the open space funding bills?
And you want to, and I'm not sure how comfortable the director would be to take to determine what he thinks our.
Well, to report back to us. No, at the next meeting, to report back to us at the next meeting. If our attorney feels that's the way it really should go.
I mean, I think it's fairly routine that whether it be an individual member or the council, they certainly can make requests to the executive director to look into things. I mean, I think that happens routinely. I'm not even sure that a straw poll is necessary.
It's just a request for information.
Like if the chairman is making that request, I'll assume that the executive director will be responsive to it.
And then the response would be returned to all members individually. That's fine.
Can we do that then, Mr. Chair?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you very much. The other thing I wanted to say is I think...
Mr. Rogers,
yes, sir.
They're considering several bills down here. Yeah. Rather than come out and support all of them or everything or whatever they might come up with, why don't we wait until they do pass one of the bills, come up with a solution, and then we'll support that?
Well, they have introduced these four bills outside of the water people. So
Do you have a number on them? Are we going to support all of those bills?
We're not suggesting at this point in time we're supporting anything.
Right. We're just looking into it.
The director will give us an overview of how these bills affect the Highlands region.
Thank you very much. Just like to say, I really think it's a good addition to the report of the executive director to have the constituent assistance. I know you've been putting this in, but I just wanted to comment. I think that's really important that we know how many people get in touch, and you have it, laid out here, really succinctly. And I think that is really important. I want to compliment the executive director on that. Also, I see several places in this report where the staff is really doing a great job catching things that need to be updated. And also, I was really glad to see the geotechnical investigation was completed for the 700 Barkey,
yes.
Chester Road property, and
no cars was found, and it dropped off. No cars was found, and it dropped off the report.
So we're supposed to be getting a report though on that, right?
We can give you a copy of the report, but the report is completely negative as any finding of cars. We'll give you a copy of the geotechnical scientist report. Sure, we'll do that for you.
Because it says this applicant, the resulting report will be provided to the Highlands Council.
Sure.
As soon as it's available.
I'm not sure that we've received it yet other than a phone call, but I think
we just received it.
We did yesterday?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll give it out to you.
Well,
do you want that as part of your packet next month, or do you want us to mail it to you or email it to you?
I think all council members were interested in that because it's an amendment to that resolution to approve that.
We'll email it out to all.
Certainly are interested. Thank you. And just the last thing I wanted to point out is I am a little concerned that there's no progress. I understand, you explained here about the numbers are quote-unquote slowing naturally, but seems like we've really stalled. I mean, I think this is the first meeting where we've had absolutely no progress. Maybe there was one or two others in recent months, but no progress at all with any new planning performance.
I think we have to look at the philosophy of planning performance. I think we're getting a lot of communities that are conforming but aren't fully engaged in the process of getting to conformance. I think that we're implementing a lot of the principles and a lot of the ordinances, but towns are doing it voluntarily and voluntarily planning, doing good planning without necessarily getting to that threshold of conformance. We have several new towns that we'll be looking at that I really don't want to divulge their names within the next month. That will be two are named, one Wanakee, one Roxbury, that will be coming on. Others that we have reopened the door who had frankly shut the door on the Highlands because they either misunderstood or didn't like the process, and they've invited us back. So we're starting that process up again, and I think we'll see more plan conformance. But in all honesty, we've got a lot of other things that we think aid plan conformance, aid the Highlands, such as our economic package and the TDR. And while we haven't de-emphasized it, I don't know that emphasizing it to any higher level would increase the level of participation. The low-hanging fruit is gone. We need some towns now who are fully in the planning area, who have no incentive to adopt the ordinance other than good planning. And we're working on those. But it takes a while to get that story across, and that's why we're going out. We're out telling the story, and we're getting people who are moving forward. And it's an incremental process. It's not a magic wand.
So do you feel that this pace will pick back up again once you start trying these other methods?
I think he's saying he's not slowing the process. I think he wants the process to move forward. It's the municipalities that have the money to engage in it. As he pointed out, the low-hanging fruit, the people that the Chesters came in and they've gone through the process. And there's municipalities now that are less inclined or slower to move in and opt in. So you can't keep the same pace unless everybody wants to do it.
Oh, I understand that. I'm just like with TDR, we're thinking out of the box a little bit, thinking about how to, you know, invigorate that program. Just saying, maybe we need to think about how to invigorate to get these last, you know, because it's a pretty good percent that's not conforming yet.
And a pretty good percent that is conforming as well. I think 37% are on board with conformance.
It's just don't.
I think the other issue is right now there is not a hammer. There was a hammer in the early days called COA. And I think a lot of people started the process because of COA protection.
I know a lot. Yeah,
it was an incentive. And now that isn't as prominent. If, God forbid, the COA regulations should turn around, I think you'd see a rush to our door. So I think there are other considerations. And one of them is also the building market. The construction market is down and way off, and people aren't thinking forward into into what could happen if. So I think there are a number of factors, and I just assure you we are pursuing it, but it's an incremental process, and one that takes time of getting out to municipalities and convincing them that this is the right thing to do from a planning tool. And we are representing ourselves as a regional planning authority whose goal is the protection of water. And we are here to help them plan their community, help them regionally plan, and move forward a regional agenda for protection of water and the environment.
Well, to a lot of towns also, when someone from the state says, I'm here to help you to a municipality, that's not always received well.
That's true. Thank you, Mr. Francis. Mr. Bowden?
Was that? No.
Oh, you didn't put that did anybody else have any of these comments? Yes, sir.
But unrelated. Two things. One is, when's the last report we got on the pipeline? I think we were supposed to get quarterly updates.
Yeah, quarterly update. We're waiting right now. We have a draft for the annual report, which we should have a final report within the next, 30 days?
Yes.
They're waiting for their legal department to okay, but we've seen the report. The other reports are on the website. We get a weekly report that's on the website.
They were supposed to, if I remember correctly, I'm going to have to go back and look through all the paperwork. There was supposed to be a certain report they were supposed to do quarterly. I could be mistaken, but I think they
I will check on that and get back. The other thing is we are due now to file an annual report on behalf of the council. We're working on that, and we will get you a copy of that to review, obviously, before we submit it. We'll give the chairman a copy for his signature. But that's coming in within the next 30 days also.
Okay. Thank you. The other item was we kind of briefly discussed, if you could just update the council on the position of the attorney.
It's still in the process. Track has been a little slow moving with Superstorm Sandy. So we hope to have somebody in place already, but right now we're shooting for early March.
Thank you.
We've been pretty well represented by the other.
So we are moving forward with that, correct?
Yes.
As I say, the record.
as I stated many times previously. Any other council members?
Thanks for the screen, Gene. I'll tell you what, that is good. Our IT director, Tom, is the responsible for the screen and the soundboard.
I have two items I wanted to bring up as well. I wanted to thank Gene for your monthly updates. I think you have included a lot of the items that Mr. Alstead's always asked for many, many years, to see the progress and the movings of what was happening here at the council. So I applaud you on your efforts in keeping us informed, involved in the process, and what you're doing. Even though the authority has been given to you, you're keeping us in the loop. And I thank you for doing that for all the members.
Thank you.
And the second item I have is, which I should have mentioned earlier, is next month I'm hoping to have in place a plan for our regional master plan review. So hopefully next month we'll be starting that process, or at least getting our hands on that process. So that's all I have.
If there's nothing else, we'll move into public comments.
A reminder to the public to keep it to 3 minutes or less.
Jerry Kern, Blackhawk Township. My first concern is the supporting any legislation in Trenton. Unless that legislation is 100% funding Highlands, I don't think there should be any support here. I think you were reminded a few times by the audience that you are the Highlands Council, and I think your first priority should be the people that have already lost their rights and have not been compensated. Any of these other legislations out there that may come up with money, it shouldn't be going to buy more property from other people and paying them. It should be paying the people that you've already taken it from. So any support in any legislation that isn't 100% going to the Highlands, I would hope it would be an insult, quite frankly, to me and any landowner, if this council supported any legislation that was 100%. My other concerns with the TDR, I heard the landowner has to go to apply for these. I would like to know if there's any cost associated with that. Will there be any surveys needed? Any deed work where attorney would be needed? And I suppose the landowner would have to probably pay those if there is. Is that likely?
There's no application fee. Outside of the HDC Bank's initial purchase program, the landowner would have to pay for the closing costs on the easements. Right now, we cover $2,500 for closing costs for certain applicants, just to give you an estimate of how much a closing cost would cost for that program.
Let me get this right. You take my land, you take my rights, now you want to charge me to try to get something back. I should have figured this one, I guess. I'm not as optimistic about this as everyone else seems to be. I mean, I like to be, trust me. What I do see is a bigger worm on the hook. Now we're going to give towns $250,000 to entice them to be receiving area. Well, that doesn't sound bad. Maybe we'll give them $1 million. That might even entice them more, and they can fix their roads and their sidewalks and their curbs. But that doesn't bring a builder there. When you add a cost for a builder to go there, it's just that, a cost. They don't want more costs. New Jersey has too many costs now. So we may end up with receiving areas, but I don't see no builders going there yet. And the builder don't go there, guess what? He's not buying that credit I got. Because I went through all the work, supposedly, you tell me. I have these credits now that I paid for, but yet maybe I don't have a builder to buy them. I'm still a little concerned. Thank you.
Well, let me answer that question. That was one of our concerns. So what do we have if we have no buyers? So
You can't create buyers with making costs.
You're right. But the only thing we can do is make an attempt.
I understand.
Single and, process we currently have at our disposal.
And trust me, I appreciate that. And I want to see something work because, quite frankly, it's been too long. And there has to be and I understand the legislature left you with this mess. I do.
We have met with the New Jersey Builders Association twice We are scheduling meetings with them regularly. We are scheduling meetings with all of those people who, by some, might be considered adversaries, and finding out what makes things work for them. We have, as I said, met with the New Jersey Builders Association, and we have talked to them about what makes things work for them. They will be a major stakeholder in ongoing discussions.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to work for the towns, and it's got to work for the builders, and we're hoping we can find
right.
something that where the you know the circles overlap.
What
but
I,
you're absolutely right. It won't move forward right. without somebody who wants to actually do the project.
And what I will tell you is, when you raise the cost somewhere else, the builders will go somewhere else. That's how it works. They're in it for the money. And if they have added costs, they're not going to fight it. Just like you mentioned the word Highlands, they walk away. They know the soft costs are going to continue to go up. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is David Choke. I have a farm in the Highlands Preservation Area. How about now?
Good.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in the Highlands Preservation Area. One thing that the TDR program did not address is the fact that the TDRs are discounted to a minimum of 75% of the value established by Integra, a firm hired by the Highlands Council to determine the TDR values. That's how you get to $16,000. You're worried about the towns, you're worried about the builders, you're still trying to peddle TDR credits that are devalued a minimum of 75% and in some cases even more. You have not addressed that issue in your presentation at all. It's about time you do so. It's been brought up to you in the past. It's in your own literature. Deal with it. And when you offer $250,000 planning grants, when you say planning grants, the money goes for planning. The money goes to planners. More paperwork, more shuffling, and you have a state full of planners now with precious little to plan. This is a golden opportunity for them to dip into the state budget as administered by you to pay the bills, because they're not planning much else. Matter of fact, some towns tell their planners and engineers, stay home, we'll call you when we need you. And there's been no analysis of the number of TDRs available versus the number of TDRs to be absorbed by receiving areas. You're flying blind. You don't even know what you're dealing with. There's no attempt to establish the size of the market versus the size of the supply. Why don't you do it? It's what anybody else would do. And if you're looking for funding for Highlands Preservation money, the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, which used to do it, is eliminating the program as proposed in this upcoming rate adjustment. They identified 6,900 acres for as critical watershed land to be preserved. They did this in their 2006 Spruce Run Initiative document. They've preserved 4,545, and they're calling it quits on the plan. And I'm going to leave with you my correspondence back and forth with the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. So this is another source of funding that is going away. It's clear to me that if you own property in the Highlands Preservation Area, you're just getting screwed from every direction, including the New Jersey Water Supply Authority.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We were discussing earlier today the fact that the more we get into this Highlands Act and the Regional Master Plan, the more of a mess we find. Is it possible to have an explanation as to how the $16,000 was arrived at? Not now, obviously, but in a future meeting.
The $16,000.
How the $16,000 was arrived at, and perhaps it's not, as Mr. Shope suggests, legitimate.
I agree. In fact, I just wrote the same note here.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought it up.
But that will not be the go-forward number in a new program. The go-forward number in a new program will be market-based, where the developer would talk directly to landowners who have said they have an interest in selling their development rights, and that would be negotiated separately for higher or lower.
But we've established right now that $16,000 is the minimum value. Presumably, if somebody came to the TDR bank and we didn't have restrictions on hardships right now and said, hey, I've got 10 credits, I'm ready to sell them today, we would hand them $16,000 of credit and the bank would hold on to them until somebody wanted to buy them.
And that's the program that is ending now. So I don't know, going forward, the bank is going to have to give us some guidance on that. And we'll get us some information.
Story for another day. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Susan Williams from Sparta. I just have a question, actually a couple questions. This TDR program is a lot more complicated than I thought it would be, as you all have already pointed that out. And I'm a little confused. I mean, I hear you saying builders are the most important stakeholders.
No.
You said something about builders and big stakeholders.
They're an important piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
Well,
they are.
It has to be somebody developing something.
Absolutely, absolutely. But obviously, you know, people and drinking water still has to be protected. My question is, I agree, there's a lot of people who have lost property value from the whole inception of this act. And I guess I came here thinking that there would be some kind of plan for remuneration for this whole group. And so when Mrs. Carlucci suggested that the board try to help put the opinion of the Highlands Board Council, put it forth with the legislators to get money to help compensate these other people.
None of those go to compensate you. Go ask those property owners if any of those bills are going to help them.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, that while there's even discussion of this, that be put out there that, you know, we want something like that in there, and to actually be talking to these legislators, and you're the body to do that. And I'm just wondering, there's reluctance, and I don't understand
they
that.
They know that. they promised that. What, funny?
How do they know the opinion of the council right now?
No, she's talking about money specifically for property owners in the Highlands, not your open space building.
Well, wouldn't the money? Well, okay, again, I'm confused. But would some of the money come from the open space to help compensate them?
No.
So there'd have to be a separate fund to compensate going back.
Correct.
So that would have to be a whole separate bill.
Correct.
I'm sorry.
Or an amendment to the existing bills.
Okay. Now, is that something that the council would take on?
We have a standing policy that we support a water use fee to be specifically directed to compensation of Highlands owners. But the problem is that bill, even though it was promised by certain legislators when the Highlands Act was put in place,
it never happened. I agree.
In fact, the slap in the face was when Smith came out with a bill that provided monies statewide, but not specifically for the Highlands, to come from water use.
The same funds that he promised that would be used in this region.
Right, and so, you know,
it's not, I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate your comments, and you're hearing a little frustration because we would love to see the funds come in. The property owners would love to see the funds come in. We certainly support those monies coming in. It's the ability to get those money here, and that's where it comes down to the legislature. They're the ones that made the promises when they passed the act. They're the ones that failed to hold up their promises. Now there's a lot of unhappy and affected property owners.
Absolutely.
That paid a very dear price, and we'd like to change it.
Right, and so as just a regular person, citizen, what have you, I mean, this is something I would certainly rally behind. And again, but I think wouldn't it be the council at that point, would it be appropriate for the council to be an advocate to approach the legislators and say we want an amendment, this has to be righted? I don't know, maybe I'm dreaming.
As Mr. Alston said, I believe the record is there.
Well, that's a long time ago, this is now. Sometimes things change and have to be readdressed.
So
you know. I mean, now water is in everybody's mind, you know. People are thinking, hey, really, they're, you know, drinking water isn't forever and it isn't clean unless we do something. Back then, it just wasn't as prevalent as it seems to be now. Times change. Sometimes things that don't happen years ago happen now because the timing is right.
This isn't that many years ago, but I appreciate your comments. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and I think it is very convenient to blame a situation on Trenton when you could have a hand in correcting that situation by participating in the system and, as this woman who spoke before me mentioned, letting your concerns be known today. 2004 was many years ago and several legislatures ago. And if you have concerns, if you have ideas and you have possibilities that may that Trenton may be able to be part of the solution, I think it's incumbent upon you to make that known. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Erica Van Alken. I'm from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. First, I'd like to thank the council and the staff for the TDR presentation. In that presentation, it was noted that the $10 million that was allocated is starting to dwindle. And it was also noted that while we are putting a great effort into launching a better TDR program, it's not there yet. Hopefully soon, it will be. And until that time, it makes sense to support the preservation programs that the state has in place, the Green Acres Program, the Farmland Preservation Program, and the Historic Preservation Program. 30% of funding from those programs is allocated to the Highlands. Since 2000, more than 162,000 acres have been preserved in the Highlands. There are at least that 160,000 acres that the RMP have designated as high priority, meaning it should be preserved. If the funding is not there in the state suite preservation programs, how is land going to be preserved? Now you've talked about compensation, which is my understanding is what the TDR program was set up to address. Preservation is a separate issue, and I acknowledge that, but it is what another mechanism for putting money into the Highlands and giving money to landowners that think that they were aggrieved in some way. That's all I have to say. I just think that as the governing body for this region, you absolutely have a right to have a voice in that discussion. If you have a problem with how it's being handled, then you should make your voice heard. And I'm not saying you need to support any of the three bills that are currently proposed. I'm sure that they're not perfect. But then say so and have a voice in deciding what will work for this region. As the governing body in this region, you should know better than the rest of the state what you need, and you should have the right to express that, and I think you should govern that right. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
I'm Robert Fry. I'm a farmer in Bohackon Township. I was one of those who was financially affected by the Highlands Act. This Monday, our Environmental Commission met with two Highlands staff members to review our environmental impact study. I asked the staff person about the status of the 25 and 88 acre restrictions and the lawsuit in a preservation area. The staff person did not know what I meant until Jerry Kearns mentioned the New Jersey Farm Bureau. Can anyone tell me when this litigation will be resolved?
I think the litigation was dismissed. I think it's back before the...
It's not dismissed.
It's back before the department for further consideration. I don't think that the litigation's not active right now. I think the court has stepped back and let the department have an opportunity to weigh in.
So when is the department going to act on it?
That I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not a director in New Jersey, Columbia.
Thank you, Mr. Pratt. Anybody else in the panel wish to be heard? No, sorry. Get you next.
Go ahead. Go. I'll finish.
You heard. He gave up his 3 minutes.
Oh.
Does that give me 6 minutes? My name is Matthew Smetana. I'm one of the affected property owners from the Highlands Act. I guess just based, I have many questions, but some just came up from this meeting. First of all, I heard mention of anticipation of at least 5 years, probably more, based on the economy, before any of these receiving zones may possibly be capable of receiving additional, or starting to negotiate these credits. So basically talking at a total of now 14 years from the inception of the act, where there's a quote-unquote potential, not necessarily reality.
And I'd like to point out something. For years, to the best of my ability, from what I understand, there's been no real attempt, as there has been, to get the TDR program rolling. So while we don't know for sure whether it will or will not work, or necessarily the exact time frame to it, you know, it is a long time, but it was under this current administration that we made a significant attempt at it.
Yeah, and I do appreciate the attempt. I believe in the act that was supposed to have been done after 2 years of the enactment of the act, but it's obviously been much longer, and everyone who's been affected by the act has basically had to postpone compensation for that long period of time, as additional bills related to this act is accruing interest, lost income, you name it, basically because of this inability to get TDRs, get receiving zones, and to get funding for the Highlands Bank. One question having to do with the cost to a builder. Do we have any idea what the cost per unit would be to a builder who decided to purchase a receiving credit or a credit?
Yes. It's nothing firm yet. This is going to be based on, hopefully, a market value. So,
okay, and you said that starts at $16,000, could potentially go down, or could potentially go up, but realistically, I don't rely on that too much. And I have to agree with the statement before that 75% loss in value compared to reality of what that land was worth when the act was enacted is absurd. And if those $16,000 goes down to $14,000, $13,000, $12,000, well, now that's another $4,000 per credit. That's that much worse. Back when the act was first enacted, there was huge potential of profit from these properties. Where is this additional grant money coming from? The $250,000, is it being taken from the landowner's compensation? Or is there some other magic fund that's providing that money?
Right, your time is up, but I would suggest maybe, can you put this slide up, or can you?
We can basically cover it fairly quickly if you want. The grant money comes out of our grant budget. We have an annual grant budget, which covers all the grants, like the lake restoration grant that you saw, and the feasibility grants that would come out of our budget. That's going to have to be a pretty good number to pay for that, a pretty good transfer. The transfer number is not fixed, and the $16,000 isn't even a floor or a peak. It depends on the value to a developer. If construction takes off and the economy turns around, then there could be competition for these same development credits. They could be bidding each other higher and higher. We don't know how that's going to work.
Isn't there, in addition to the $16,000, other fees that are required as part of that?
Not that we envision, beyond.
What Gina's saying is correct. This program envisions a free market transaction. So our job, really, is to find as many towns that are willing to do this as we possibly can, because then there are more development credits that are needed, and that, you know, drives up the price because of competition. I mean, I'm no means an expert in this, but in the towns and in the Finelands where they have had free market transactions, the price of a credit has gone up over the years. You know, it started very low, and then because there was competition, it really worked to the advantage of the property. So that's what we're trying to make happen here.
I'm not familiar with the 75% devaluation. I will start finding out about
that tomorrow. Yeah, I looked into it a little bit.
But I'm not familiar with that, and I will check that with staff in the morning as to how that impacted. Because I will tell you that the last several rounds that we went through of compensating with the HDCs sounded quite fair and reasonable. And I think the owners were reasonably settled. I never heard that during that process. So okay. I need to know more.
Yeah, I think you definitely should investigate that. And the final question really is, at what point do you give up on the whole Highlands Act, give people back their property rights, because you have no funding available to compensate those people who have been screwed? Well, you have to pick a time, because, I mean, we can't wait forever.
We'll call on it right now, but we don't have the ability to change the act. That's strictly the legislature.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I would just urge the council to consider to do what Ms. Carluccio was urging, which is namely to support some or all of the Green Acres Garden State Preservation Trust measures that are coming forth in Trenton. My understanding of the value of property is that you know what it is when somebody pays you for it. Like when you want to sell it, well, the Green Acres and Farmland Preservation Programs are paid for out of the Garden State Preservation Trust Fund, which also funds historic preservation and Blue Acres. As Erica said, about 30% of this statewide pot of money came to the Highlands. It's not like the Highlands got 5% or 10%. It got 30% with far less than that in terms of percentage of the state's land area. I think the Highlands, you know, it's like 15% of the state in terms of land area, maximum. But it got proportionately twice as much money as other parts of the state. Now, this money goes for the state to spend. It comes to counties for counties to spend. It goes to individual municipalities to spend. They match it with their own farmland and open space funds. And it goes to nonprofits. You have the landowners have the option of totally selling a tract and moving away, or they can do a deal where they sell a portion of the tract, stay in their existing house, and sell a portion. Or you can have the Farmland Preservation Program, which is, although you can do an outright sale, it is based primarily on the purchase of the development rights, and the farmer continues to farm, and they get money in addition. Lots of money in some cases. In Tewksbury, one of the landowners sold their property for over $40,000 an acre in the preservation area. So it's not like that money would be there, and it would be very helpful to have the Highlands Council and its members supporting this, because if you're trying to give landowners who want to sell price, you know,
cash, that is certainly one way to do it, and it's also a way to preserve the open space, which would counterbalance new centers, for example.
Thank you, Mr. Arnn.
So, thank you very much, and I urge you to do this.
Yes, sir.
Bill Kimber, Raritan Headwaters Association. I just wanted to make a suggestion. I believe I heard Mr. Riley say earlier that you're ready to begin the process of, or at least planning the process for the regional master plan review.
Definitely we have.
Correct. And I just wanted to suggest that in that process you consider, in terms of helping you along, reconstituting the technical advisory committees that help put together the original regional master plan. You probably haven't noticed this because they do such good work and they do so much of it, but you don't have a surplus of staff. And the technical advisory committees are an excellent way for you to leverage skilled professionals from outside the staff. If you look in the back of the regional master plan or on your website, the original technical advisory committees are listed. I think there were 18 of them, but you can find that information. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I will certainly take that into consideration. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Yes, sir.
1 minute,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know the
rest of my time, sir. Okay. Oh, come on. Come on.
Thank you very much. I
get out of here. He didn't mean it.
I know him. It's okay. A couple of things you had asked the evaluation and the discounts are in the HC, your own document. Your HC document, that's where that came from, okay? And that integrity, or however you want to say it, they came up with the price of $64,000, and then the Highlands Council brought it down. So that's where that came from, okay? Now, I'm here to listen today. I'm not, one thing is, can I get a hard copy of this thing that you had up there? I'm not on the computer.
Slide?
Oh, the slide?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, hard copy. You know.
I'll give them mine.
There you go. Okay, thank you. The other thing is, does anybody know how much grant money has been spent already for the TDR program that we've already allocated? Does anybody know?
$7,800,000.
Yes, we know.
Okay. Now, the other thing that I got to ask you, or somebody can answer me, is you said there's a deed restriction when you go. What is that deed restriction that you talked about as to the property owner? You have a deed restriction?
In the TDR program, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
As opposed to a, I think he means the easement.
Yeah. Yes, the conservation.
Yeah, the easement. Now, the easement is for anybody to come on your property, or what is it?
No. It's the easement that restricts further development on your property. What you're doing through the TDR program is you're selling off the development rights. So
yes.
Once those go, your property is restricted.
Right. You still have the property
yeah.
for use, but you couldn't build on it.
All right. Now, the other thing is you spoke about the Pinelands.
Yes.
And their program is working. Now, so we say, and you said the credits are going up, but it took 25 years for that program to get going. You know where I'll be in 25 years? Won't be
same
here.
Same place I'll be.
I'll be
yeah,
with you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're looking for something now.
They had a designated receiving area, which made them a lot more attractive and easier to develop. They were had a mandate, you will take these credits here. And we don't have that. We have to shop to sell our credits. Theirs were virtually pre-sold as to location.
All right. The other thing is when you're talking about these grants and support, in the last $400 million that was passed for open space, not one penny was dedicated to the Highlands. Not one penny. So, you know where that's coming from.
Did you say 30%? 30%.
Well, it was not dedicated. How it got, you know, when you're dedicating something to somebody, you're a guarantee. But you haven't got $400 million, not one penny.
Most of that was in the planning, not preservation.
Well, you know, one of the things is, again, I'm looking for the money. You know what I mean? So even at, when you say the grant money, I was wondering how I could work my farm into getting a little grant money so we can survive. You know, I don't have to take a quarter of a million. I'll take 100 at a time. You know?
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You got that money, though.
Now, there's one other thing.
Thank you, your time, sir.
Oh, no way. No way. And I'm just jotting my notes down, usually I got. Just bear with me. I guess that's about all I can raise up on you. But listen, guys, I think, my own personal opinion is, if every one of you people went to Trenton and told those legislators, listen, we're up here, we're trying to do these things for these people, but you people have reneged on your part. And tell them you're going to go on strike. Huh? Then where would they be? Come on. You guys got, I mean, I'll go down here with you. But we gotta get you involved. And without your help, nothing's going to happen. I'll be perfectly honest. And each and every one of you have to do it. Not just one person, because they just go, you know. But we have a whole council. We have a whole group. Everybody here understands the farmer's problem, but the legislator doesn't. So, thanks. I appreciate that.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I was that close, Dave. Thanks.
You're not going to have dinner yet.
I have another one.
I'd like to address the Dave Pfeiffer from Amgen. I'd like to address this question of open space funding. They're basically, it's important to realize how short time is. Some of these issues, for example, the dedication of a percentage of the sales tax will require a constitutional amendment. And there are specific steps that have to be followed to get that on the ballot before the voters. In a timely way. You have basically three options: water tax, dedication of sales tax, and bonding. None of them are without some difficulty. Bonding, we know that we have concerns about overall state debt. We also have concerns about our state's credit rating. It's generally a difficult lift to get open space funding through bonding. With regard to the water tax, I would commend you to the New Jersey Water Supply Authority and look at their program that they're using to buy land in the Highlands and other parts of the Raritan River Valley, which is basically a contractual agreement between the users of water and the authority. There's didn't seem to be any legislation necessary to establish that. And some communities have benefited dramatically from state water supply authority open space money. It was highly effective in preserving lands upstream of Spruce Run Reservoir. No legislation was necessary. I would suggest you talk to Henry Patterson, the director, and Ken Klipstein, who you know, who's the head of the Watershed Protection Unit that actually delivers that service to the ground, to the landowners in the drainage. What we've got at risk here is the entire structure of open space funding in the state that dates back to 1961. And if you look at the voting records on that, you'll see how it has been supported by the general public of the whole state of New Jersey, not just the people in the Highlands. And particularly if you look at the voting record, you'll see that several of the Highlands counties have not been particularly supportive of those open space funds over the years. Many of the issues tipped because of the urban areas of New Jersey that use the water from the Highlands. there's a possibility here of losing the entire structure that was built up since 1961 the expertise in the Green Acres Program, in the Garden State Preservation Trust, and the other areas that are responsible for delivering money to the ground. And I would have to say that it's probably a quicker route and a more substantial route for the landowners in the Highlands to have access to historic preservation funding, Blue Acres funding, Green Acres funding, and farmland preservation funding than reliance on the TDR program. One of the interesting things about TDR is that when the economy is down, the sellers drive the process. When the economy is up, the buyers drive it. Right now, expecting short-term immediate results from a TDR program is a little bit like pushing on a rope and expecting something to move at the other end. So I would encourage you to make your case to the legislature. Clearly, you have a planning document. You have assessed the needs for funding, and you can make an objective, compelling case to the legislature about what the Highlands need is. And if you don't take the opportunity to do it and you let this sort of dither along, I'm afraid that there's a good possibility we'll lose all open space funding in the state. So we need your help. When I say we, I mean me and all the rest of the folks that live in the state. So please take some definitive action and speak firmly.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, a motion to adjourn.
So moved.